know how we do it.
Welcome. You are now in the village.
What up, y'all? This is your girl, Lady Jay. What up, y'all? This is your girl, Lady Jay. Y'all know what to do with us, huh?
You are now in the village, home of Taking It Back Tuesdays. Welcome to the village, the kids' corner, the second helping, and music moments.
It's your girl, Lady J. Recording from the bedroom, from the kitchen table, from the library there. You know how we do it.
This is KK. This is KK. This is KK, and you're listening to Bluntly KK.
Welcome to the village. Welcome to the village. It's your man KJ. Tonight I have...
What up, y'all? It is Lady J.
And in the village tonight, folks, we officially, unofficially have a new village member, because I'm definitely, you know, have interacted with this brother and I'm very just excited about what he can bring to the village. So without further ado, we got Chance in the village. What's going on with you, bro? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Oh, good, man. Good, good, good. So Village, like I said, Chance is going to be, I'm going to try to get him on as a regular. He lives like an hour from me, but we're going to use Skype a lot because it's just, we're grown men. We got families, we got things to do. And sometimes him coming down here or me coming to where he's at probably ain't possible. So we're going to go ahead and just flow with it and get him on as much as we can and, keep it pushing. All right. So. Let's jump into that. Well, first of all, AJ, how are you doing, honey?
Baby, I'm all right. Like, I'm good. It's been a minute since I feel like it's been a really long time since we've been on the mics.
Yeah.
Like, life has been happening. And, you know, I appreciate the fact that you be like, baby, we got to get on the mics.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you know, life will just keep going, spinning, grinding. So you like. Pull my coattail. Come sit down. Have a glass of wine.
That's right. And I love when you have a glass of wine. So keep drinking cinnamon.
Dang, you put my business out in the street and stuff? Like, dang.
So, Chance, what's going on with you, bro? How's life treating you?
Man, it's been good. You know, busy with the wife and kids and the job, of course.
Of course.
You know, that's about it.
Okay. I heard that. So let's jump into this this first topic here. Now, North Carolina is attempting or has attempted to put into legislation and a bill, SB, what is it called, Chance, again? I'm sorry.
SB2.
Yeah, SB2, that basically allows the magistrates to deny marriage licenses to basically, if someone they feel violates their religious right or their religious preference, whatever the case may be. Now, my initial thought on this was, this is directly aimed at the gay community. Mm-hmm. Let's just not even play the game. Let's not front. This is what it is. It's meant for to go against gays, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But here's the other issue. The issue that I see personally. Mm-hmm. What if the magistrate says, I'm not into interracial marriage? Can they pull it then too? Is there protection for that? I don't know. What y'all think?
Well, I'd like to say that one, I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman.
Okay.
But that being said, once states started getting into licensing marriage, they have to provide equal protection for everybody, whether they like it or not, under the law.
That's true.
So you know, back in before 1929, states didn't license marriage, so you just went to your church or whoever and got married.
Mm-hmm.
It was a revenue stream that, and now they've gotten themselves into a quagmire where they have to start licensing marriages for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I mean, I'm the same way. I mean, I'm not going to sit up here and get all religious on you because I'm not the best Christian and I'm working on myself. But I've often said, hey, marriage to me is between man and a woman, and I'm okay with. But here it is. I'm okay with, if you want to get married, get married. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? If to me, whether I agree or disagree, if two consenting adults say they love each other and want to get married, I have no problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
Lady J, Lady J, what you got, babe?
As in reference to the bill, I find it interesting because if you don't agree with, how did you word it? You worded it, if you don't agree with a person or,
yeah, if the magistrate does not agree with like let's say for instance gay marriage, if the magistrate issuing the license mm-hmm. does not agree with you being in a quote unquote gay marriage, because to me it's just marriage,
mm-hmm.
but if he doesn't agree with it, then he actually does not have to give you a marriage license.
Mm-hmm. I want to pull back because we get stuck on gay. But I don't want to think about gay. I was thinking specifically in my mind when I first heard this, I wasn't thinking about gay marriage. I was thinking, what happens if the person was, you know, Muslim?
Yes, that's, you know, another issue.
Or if they were Buddhist or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking in reference to, like, you know, there are people who get married and they are Jewish and Muslim or Buddhist
that's the other
Catholic
issue.
You know, yeah. And so it had me. It had me thinking my mind didn't even really think about gay marriage until you said it,
mm-hmm.
but it had me thinking, like, what happens if you are getting married to someone who is not of your religion, and how would the magistrate, you know, say yes or no? But then I thought, like, wait a second, who are you to say yes or no? Like, if you don't agree with me,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, your job ain't to agree with me.
And
your job is
issue.
To uphold the law.
That's the issue right there, Chance, Lady J. If you think about it, as a magistrate, your position is to
uphold the law.
That's it.
Whatever the law says.
Your religious preference
has nothing
to
do,
with this.
There it is.
Has and nothing.
If SB2 passes, then it gives them free latitude to pretty much do whatever they want.
Exactly.
Well, you know, Chance, I'm glad you said that, because on May 28th, 2015, it looks like the governor vetoed the bill.
But okay. Well, I mean, if you think about it, just the fact that it was brought up, it's crazy in itself.
You know what? I don't think it is crazy. And here's the reason why. I think the reason why it's not crazy is, over the years, people have fought so hard for gay marriage to come up to get into the law, to get into the Senate, to get into the House, to get onto the bills. Why would this be any different? Right? Like, California's been fighting this for years,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they got it passed and then got denied and then got it passed and they got it withdrawn and they got it passed and it was appealed and all this stuff. Like, North Carolina is just stepping up to the table so that they can begin to start their fight too.
Mm.
You know, like, is it expect? I think it's perfectly. I think it's expected for it to come to the table, because unfortunately, every single state they have to go through their own. It's not like, you know, they pass the law federally and everybody just federally abides by
it. Yeah, and everyone has to accept,
you know what I mean?
It. Yeah.
Like, it's not, that's not how it works. Each state has to come on board and approve it in order for it to stand still, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not really big into politics, so maybe I said that wrong. Did I say that wrong?
No, you're good. Were you gonna say, Chance?
I was gonna say, what happens if the law actually passes in a conservative state, though?
So I'm
sure there's gonna be other states that are gonna look at this and try to tweak the law just a little bit, so it's a little less distasteful.
I mean, but how can you make this less distasteful? Like, at the root of all this, we all know where this is coming from. You know what I mean? it's not a secret. We know that the goal is to keep homosexual couples from getting married. That's the goal. That's the plan. Now, along the way, will there be some others that are affected? Yes. If this were to pass, mixed couples, for one, specifically, let's be honest, black and white.
And in California, that may not be that big of an issue, but in North Carolina, North Carolina still holds true to a lot of its Confederate ties.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so,
you know, look at a state like Texas.
Yo, Texas, that man. And I mean, and we were discussing that earlier on the phone, Chance, how Texas is a red state. That's a conservative state. So if this thing were to go to somewhere like Texas, I think it'd be a shoe-in almost.
It could hurt more than just the gay population. And that's the part that, you know, worries me. It's not just that it will hurt the gay population, but it will begin to hurt people as a whole. You know, now we're looking at, like, mixed couples can't get married. Gay people can't marry. If you're not in the same religion, you can't get married. Mm-hmm. Like it'll be, you know.
If people like you, you can't get married.
Yes. Yes. Imagine if you and the judge, you know the judge and he don't like you like that.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's setting people up for, you know, a bad situation.
Yeah, a very bad situation. And the more and more I think about it, it doesn't bug me, but it's kind of confusing because, number one, we've come so long so far as a country. You got to remember, just a few years ago, you know, if this would have been 50, 60 years ago, me and you wouldn't be in this house, in this neighborhood.
Right.
So we've come a long way. I'm not going to sit up here and compare, you know, apples to oranges, whatever the case may be. But here's the truth of the matter. If this passes, this opens the door for way more discrimination to begin.
Mm-hmm.
Way more discrimination. We've already heard about, there's a religion, I can't think of what the religion's called, but it's carried by whites, and they say they don't like blacks touching their stuff or Mexican touching their stuff or anything like that. I forget what it's called. It's actually a religion.
And they sounds like Nazism to me.
It probably is. You know, it's crazyism if you think about it. But these kind of things exist. And with these kind of laws in place, it just opens the door for more and more things to be passed, for discrimination to basically be okay. Mm-hmm. And then what do we see? The second Jim Crow era coming in.
Just about to say, a lot of these laws that are coming about, a lot of things, I mean, the disrespect to the president and everything, to me, it's kind of a resurgence and kind of Jim Crow trying to get a foothold back into America.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking at the riots, looking at how you have a few people rioting and doing things in Baltimore, and they destroy a few blocks, but you have half of a city destroyed in a sporting event, and it's like, oh, it's just kids being kids.
Speak on it. Speak on that one, man.
I mean, but Chance, I want to correct you in something. You said that it's about Jim Crow getting a foot. I don't think Jim Crow has ever lost its footing.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, that's the truth of the matter. And the reason why Jim Crow hasn't lost its footing,
okay,
it's because the systems that are in place to protect the Jim Crow. You know? Like, unfortunately, the police system has never been designed to protect the African American male or female, for that matter. It's never been designed to protect the poor.
No.
You know, the laws are not designed to protect the poor. You know, so when you start looking at the system and who are the poor people, like when you really start looking at the
people
systems
of color.
The systems that are in place aren't designed to protect the people. They're designed to keep them in a place of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so then when you start looking at that, then Jim Crow has to have his foot in the door.
Yeah.
You know, because you go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I'm going to step in on that one. It's not just people of color. That whole thing about being middle class at $50,000 a year, to me, you are poor because you've just crossed the threshold of requiring state subsistence in order to live.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have, you know, the extra income to do a lot of other things once you get to $50,000. And I think that's where the white portion of middle America, Midwest America, they've kind of lost that. And they see themselves as middle class when they're really poor. And those really entrenched Republicans and a few Democrats use that as power over them. And they'll point at, you know, these white people need to feel better than somebody else. So who can you be better than? Look at those minorities over there.
People of color.
And, you know, and the like you said, you know, it's interesting how the whole quote unquote middle class America, how it's slowly, you know, moving away, that the income gap is ridiculous. Like, poor people are getting poorer and rich people are getting richer. And then the middle class people are slowly going down to the poor side, and they don't even know it. You know?
Oh, they know it. People that are poor know that they're slipping further and further in, because it used to be at one point where, you know, you at the end of the month, it was like, OK, well, we barely made ends meet. You know, we got enough food to eat. We're OK. You know, something had to take a little cut on this, but we were able to make it. Mm-hmm. There are people now that literally are, if they don't work a certain amount of hours and their paycheck is not this,
they don't eat.
They don't eat. Mm-hmm. They're at the grocery store buying the 30 pack of Top Ramen because that's all they got. Mm-hmm. And that's it. You know?
But Congress would have you think that they're middle class.
Yeah, because we haven't changed the standards. And you know what I find crazy about those standards? Guys, what am I thinking of here? I can't think of the word. The level of inflation, right? Inflation, mm-hmm. Inflation goes up, but our paychecks haven't met that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's indicative to, like, especially here in San Diego, like the price of rent is steadily increasing, but no one here is getting pay raises. And so therefore, you know, and I can attest to this specifically for my clients and that live off of Social Security and Social Security income and SSDI, where they are trying to, you know, find a little one bedroom studio apartments, even
rent a room,
even rent a room for that matter. And they are coming up against brick walls because there's nothing out there, because rent is steadily going up, mm-hmm. but their income hasn't gone up. Mm-hmm. And so now they're like, well, where do we house these? And this is my job. Where do we house these people? They have income. You know, they have money, but they don't make enough money to be able to afford rent.
No. And go ahead, Chance.
I was going to say, it's like, I work for a large telecom company in this area, and they've laid off hundreds of people this year.
Oh, wow.
The CEO just took a $30 million bonus.
Wow.
And, you know, no one sees, you know, that's just capitalism. You know, to me, that's not capitalism. That's greed.
Yeah.
If you really have to go through and lay off that many people, why do you think you deserve a $30 million bonus? Mm-hmm. And these guys will say, well, the board voted it in. Well, all these guys on the board are more millionaires that are looking at, well, you know, it's not much money to them.
It's just
the company has billions of dollars in the bank. What's $30 million?
Why not take that $30 million and keep people employed?
Exactly.
I mean, obviously, you're living well off your paycheck. Take that $30 million and invest it and be like, hey, I'm going to keep you employed. You and your family get to eat again another week.
You know, and,
a month
and,
or whatever.
And here's no, the... And here's
China
the,
or India.
So uh-huh. what? Say what?
Those jobs go to China or India.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we pay pennies on the dollar to have them make the same products here, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And it is about greed. I get it. You want to make money, but to me, here's the issue here: how much money are you going to take with you to your deathbed?
Well, see, it's,
when you're dead, you're dead. You can't take it with you.
You're right, but it's generational wealth. But it's not for them; it's for their children, their grandchildren. Mm-hmm. These people don't, their kids don't have to work if they don't want to. Look at Paris Hilton. She doesn't have to work.
Does she work?
No.
Oh.
Nikki works, though. Nikki, the older one, has a job. And she works. But no, Paris doesn't.
But none of them have to.
No, and you're right. You're right.
You know, good on them for having the wherewithal to want to have a job and have some independence and self-worth. Mm-hmm. But some people aren't like that. And that's what these people, these ultra rich, that's what they're creating. Mm-hmm. An entitled group of very wealthy people. You know, all these laws that Republicans are talking about how the poor people are getting all these benefits. Poor people didn't make those laws.
Mm-mm.
A bunch of rich guys in Congress did to try to appease the poor to get them to vote for them.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they have enough money and they have super PACs and everything else, they don't need the poor vote anymore. They just get funded by Koch brothers or whoever else is willing to fund them and buy the votes of the guys that don't keep themselves informed.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I've been learning recently. Like when I was in my, you know, late teens as a, you know, 18, 19, and even in my early 20s, politics didn't seem like a big deal to me. But now that I'm like married, I'm a homeowner, I'm a father, I really pay attention to these things. And when I'm seeing, you know, there are programs that I benefited from as a kid. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I benefited from these programs. So why would I want to see them go away if it can help the next person? Now, I'm not for people living off the system for their entire life. That's a different thing, unless they absolutely need it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you need help for a year or so to get you back on your feet, to get you going and go back to school, these programs need to stick around and be what they were.
Mm-hmm.
So people can make it. They can survive.
The problem with these programs, and I know we got way off topic.
It's what we do. This is the village. This is what we do, baby.
The problem with the programs is the programs are not designed to get you from off your feet into a better place. So the way it works, like I'm gonna give you an example, the way EBT works or CalFresh, which is the food stamp system here, the way it works is you have to you apply for food stamps and let's say you get them. If you make a certain amount of money, if you start making money, they cut your food stamps down, right? But what? Who's to say that you're making your freaking job at McDonald's?
Mm-hmm.
What's to say that your job at McDonald's is making you enough money where you're able to pay your rent, pay your stuff, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Pay for your little bus pass or whatever, and put food on your table.
We are truly the country of the working poor.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the EBT system is not, and let's say you want to, you know, you're tired of riding a bus. You've been riding a bus for years and you say, you know what? I want to get me a little car. Oh, please don't get you a car because your EBT is getting cut off.
Yeah.
Yeah, because now you have, you know, some wealth. Now you have a little bit of something.
What is considered wealth?
Right. A beater. It could be a $500 beater.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Get you from point A to point B. And please don't let it rain because you're not making it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think the system is isn't designed for you to transition. That's the point I want to make.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed you can stay poor or nothing.
Yeah.
There's no transition point. There's no point where you say, you know what? I'm doing a little bit better. I want to, you know, do a little bit more. I want to, you know, get a little bit more income. I want to get a higher paying job. If you want those, if you have those aspirations, then you're getting cut off of EBT or you're getting cut off of public assistance or you're getting cut off of your Medi-Cal insurance or whatever it is that you have.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you're like, well, dang. So I might as well just stay in the system. So at least I have me some medical insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, why do better when I can get it for free, huh?
You just said it right there.
Well, not even that, but it's not.
But that's a real statement, though. Why do better if you know that if you do better, they're going to pull everything, and then you're going to be double screwed. Just let the system take care of you. A lot of people think that way, and it's a sad way to think.
No, they don't. Some people don't even want to think that way.
You're right. Let me take. Okay, some people don't want that.
Some people don't want that. Some people want to get off the system, but they can't.
Absolutely. Yes,
because there's no middle ground.
Yes,
there's no middle place. The system is designed for you to get off the system.
No,
the system is designed for you to stay on the system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the moment that you want to get off, it's like, look, you sink or swim.
That's it.
We ain't give you no life jackets.
Yeah.
You didn't get no floaties around here. Forget that. You're sinking or swimming. You're either going to use our stuff or you're not using it.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. And that's the crazy part.
So that's the part where rich people, you know, that a rich person designed the program because they don't think, I mean, do you think that, oh my gosh, what was his name? The Republican candidate, Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
What is his concept of being poor?
Hmm.
You know,
that's a good question.
It ain't EBT.
You know, he went out and helped people. You know, he did his missionary work and everything. But at the end of the day, if it ever got too rough for him, if he felt like he couldn't handle it, he could always go back home to his nice, cushy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So those poor people, they can't do that. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm black. I cannot just stop being black one day because I'm tired of getting pulled over, turned on my interior light, having my hands out the window or whatever. I can't stop doing that. Just like, he can't help who he is.
Yeah.
But those are the people making the laws.
Right. And that makes sense because, you know, and so here's a question for you. If those are the people making the laws, right? If the cushy brothers are the one and sisters, if the cushy brothers and sisters are the ones who's making the laws will never change to help to benefit the poor people. What needs to happen is the poor people or someone to be a representative of the poor people who knows the struggles of the poor people and the plight of the poor people mm-hmm. should be the ones that's implementing the laws to say, hey, these people need a transition point.
Yes.
You know what I mean? These
like
people,
we need these benefits to stay in place.
Yes.
And heaven forbid, okay, they get a job. But like you said, you get a job at Jack in the Box and McDonald's, you have a job.
Right.
That's
it. But it's not covering food, no. rent, medical insurance, it ain't covering all that.
No. And here's the other argument that I'm tired of seeing about, we all over the place, Villa, just roll with us here. When people say, oh, well, they have a job now, so they should be off the system. Well, here it is, you know, or I've seen the argument of, well, you know, they chose to work in this situation. You don't know a person's situation. Stop judging people before you even know them. You don't know what happened in their life. So what? They screwed up. It happens. We all screw up. Sometimes things happen to people and it just happens. You gotta overcome it. But far be it, you don't take away some benefits because you don't know what that's going to do for that person. If they have a child that needs these benefits, mm-hmm. what does that do to that person's family now? Mm-hmm. And you see too many women of color, minority women nowadays, and I hate to say it, men, we got to step up and be there for our kids, right? We got to do it, right?
Absolutely.
But here's the truth of the matter. We have all these minority women raising these kids, and they don't have any help. You yank their benefits, they're screwed.
And then let me be the one. Oh, I'm about to get on my soapbox for real right now. Y'all gonna have to just bear with me for a second. My goodness, the hoops you have to go to get these doggone benefits. Mm-hmm. The hoops. Here's my story. Because I'm going to tell it because I tell you like it is. I remember when KJ, you and I had just gotten out. Well, I had just gotten out of the military. I was going to grad school. So I wasn't even grad school. I was going to undergrad. I didn't have a job. KJ, you just got laid off from your job.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And we found out we was pregnant. I remember going to this. I was pregnant. I had to be about maybe 4 months pregnant at this time. Didn't have any insurance, no health insurance, nothing. Went to the Health and Human Services to try to sign up for Medi-Cal so I could have some insurance to cover for the baby. And the people made me cry.
Yeah, I remember that day.
The people made me cry. They made me cry because I sat there for 4 hours, waited, and then the lady called me to the she didn't call me to the window. She called me on the phone, was like, Chanel, answer the phone. I answered the phone and she was like, do you have your paperwork? I was like, what paperwork? And she says, I can't see you if you don't have paperwork. I says, what paperwork? No one told me to bring paperwork. You didn't even tell me to bring nothing. I could have had it if you told me to bring it, right? Mm-hmm. And so at that point I felt completely annoyed because I felt like, here it is, I've worked since I was 14 years old. You know what I mean?
Same here.
I've worked since I was 14 years old. I got pregnant, didn't have a job, wanted to use some benefits a little bit just to get me through, you know, so I could finish college. And I felt like I was being jumped through hoops. Like the first day I was there, I was like there for 4 hours. And next day I was there for like another 4 hours. So I was like, here it is. I'm just sitting here waiting, not doing anything. When you first had called my name the first time, you could have said, hey, I need this paperwork. I could have went to the house, got the paperwork, and came back in the 4 hour period.
Yeah.
While I was just sitting there waiting, you know? So I don't know. I just felt really rude. I felt really just abused and misused, and I was annoyed, and I was like, I can't go back there because I'm going to have to stab somebody if I go back up in there.
And there the story is.
And for real. And so I I was there, right? And of course, I'm sitting here and I'm just being my normal self. And I'm looking at all the kids and all the people and all the, and where we live at, there's a huge refugee community. So I'm looking at all the immigrants coming in and they getting their benefits. And I was like, dang, here it is. I done worked for since I was 14. I can't even get benefits, but somebody who don't even live here, wasn't even born here, just got here, can get some benefits. Like, here you go. Here's your stuff. I was hot.
Mm. And you should be.
I was hot because I felt like, you know, I felt like the system wasn't, it, once again, here it is. It wasn't designed for me.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't designed for me. But let somebody else come in and they need all the help. Oh, here, let me help you fill this out. What? They get help, I don't get nothing? I just get to sit and wait for 4 hours?
Yeah.
Now I know why. You ever wonder why people go postal?
There it is.
There it is.
Well, I got to tell you my story then.
Go ahead, brother.
Because I was a single dad. And I have a special needs son. And let me tell you, I have a decent job, good salary and everything, but I needed some help. And everywhere I looked, no, you don't qualify for anything. The only way you can qualify for any type of help is you have to pretty much either fully indebt yourself or burden yourself with so much. I mean, lose everything you own and worked for, quit your job. You know, as a single dad, it was rough. I mean, child support. You know, the people at child support changed the documentation to say that I actually was supposed to be paying and put it on my credit report because they were like, well, it was an obvious mistake because it said you were supposed to be receiving child support.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of the other way around. So we fixed that error. I'm like, the hell you did? And I had to fight that for 2 years.
And Chance, and let me say this. We already know that the child support system is not designed to help the man. You know what I mean? And that's just the truth. And I'm coming from a place where I'm a mom. You know what I mean? I know the child support system is not, I don't even know what it is. It called child support? The child support place?
I don't know.
I don't even know what it's called. But it's not designed to help or assist men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are totally biased and they are totally screwed. And they are totally, you know, are in benefit for the women at all costs. You know, and that sucks because men come in, men, period, come in and they want to take care of their children. They want to help their children. They want to be there for their children. But the child support system place, I feel like it's just totally messing it up.
So, yeah. All right. So, anyways, Village.
Let's pause. Let's take a pause.
Let's take a quick break.
Yeah. Huh?
Because we got Chance on the line. And like I said, his brother has knowledge to drop, so... Take a quick break, and we're going to discuss another topic when we come back. Village, gone.
Just gotta let you know. Just gotta let you know. Just gotta let you know. Just gotta let you know.
You are now in the Village.
Just gotta let you know.
Giving it to you any way we can get it to you.
Just gotta let you know.
Out of love.
Just gotta let you know. Just gotta let you know.
Out of love.
Just gotta let you know. Just gotta let you know.
Out of love.
Hey.
Just gotta let you know. Just gotta let you know.
Out of love.
Hey.
You know how we do it.
And we are back. We are back. It's your man KJ, Lady J, Chance. We in the Village, y'all. We're discussing life, discussing stuff. You know, we just in here doing our thing. So let's jump back into this, shall we? The next topic I want to talk about, Lady J and Chance, I recently listened to a podcast, Rachel Maddow. She has a TV show,
mm-hmm.
a political TV show, and they've turned it into a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And she had Bernie Sanders on, independent from Vermont. And he proposed the idea of more bipartisan and primary debates.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in that regard, his basic premise, his thought process was, let's have more debates, joint debates, Republicans, Democrats, independents, whatever, we call yourself liberal, whatever. We all come together. We have a debate and the U.S., the world can see where you're at. And I think it's a great idea. I don't know. What do y'all think about that?
You know, I'm all for it. It's a great idea. I think it gives get rid of a lot of the that rhetoric that really doesn't make any sense,
mm-hmm.
and really force people to actually express thoughtful ideas and present thoughtful ideas. I see it as a net gain for the country.
Yeah.
Let me pull back for a second, because I wanna know where they want to implement the bipartisan debates at, like from every level, or like I'm just not
well,
clear.
I mean, because right now we're in this huge political year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you think about the number of candidates that the Republicans have, I think they're at 10.
Right.
They have like 10 candidates for the Republican nomination.
Mm-hmm.
While honestly, we have let's be real, we have one. Hillary Clinton's probably going to get the nod, and that's just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's going to be across the nation. You know what I mean? Basically, it'll be a bunch of Republicans kind of like dog pounding on Hillary Clinton, for lack of a better word.
So the proposal right now is to have the bipartisan debates, all 10 people basically debating against Hillary one by one?
Well, no, here's the thing. I think what they would do is I think they would kind of weed out who's actually going to get the nomination. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it could be one or two Republicans versus one or two Democrats for the office, basically.
So, you know, I'm going to be honest, people, villagers, I am not political. I don't do the political stuff. And I know that sounds crazy, like you should, Chanel, but I don't. So, I'm going to play real dumb because I want to know. I'm going to play real dumb. I'm going to ask the questions that I'm thinking as they come in my head.
Go ahead.
And so, since you guys are more educated, just be a little bit more gentle with me, okay? Don't we already have the bipartisan debates?
Well, Chance, go ahead. I'm going to let you speak on this one. Go ahead.
So, we have bipartisan debates now, but a lot of them, you don't really get there until
the later stages.
You kind of whittle the field down.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it should happen at all levels,
mm-hmm.
and not just at the not the talking heads. You know, the Republicans going on Fox News,
mm-hmm.
to speak on things,
mm-hmm.
and the Democrats on CNN to speak on things,
mm-hmm.
or MSNBC. I think they should really come together and discuss their ideas, and I'm willing to bet that a lot of people would see they're really, in a lot of cases, they're not that far apart from one another.
And yeah.
So, let me make sure I'm clear, because, you know, I like to be clear right now. So we are talking about not just at the presidential level, bipartisan debates, but we're speaking like at the vice president. We're speaking about if we're debating the mayor and all on all these different levels of politics, you're saying bring them bipartisan debates all the way down.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
So I think that's a great idea. And here's the reason why I think it's great. Do you remember, I want to say Saved by the Bell? I feel like Saved by the Bell was the first time I had ever got experienced to debates. Because I feel like they had them all the time. You know, like, I feel like they would get into the lunchroom and be like, vote for me for class president, and vote for me for treasurer, and vote for me for da-da-da-da-da, you know? And then the two people would come together and they'd be like, this is the reason why I want to be class president, why you should vote for me. And this is the reason why.
Just two. I'm talking about a group. Let's get some group discussions going.
Okay, so here we go. Like, let's take it all the way down. Like, if we got four candidates for mayor, why not do that? Like, I think it would make sense, and why not do it? And I think the issue I have with it, even in the presidential elections, they do it, but they do it, they do the debates, but they do them later in the game. You know, they're doing later in the election year, closer towards, you know, when it's time to start really locking down your opinion on who you want to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would like to see the debates happen in the earlier stages.
Yeah, I would like to see more debates too.
Yeah.
I would like to see more debates at an earlier stage. I would like to see, you know, and I'm going to be honest. I know Chance may look at me funny, but I'm not always sold on the Democratic nominee.
I get it. I'm not.
I want to see what both parties have to offer.
I think the politics is really the at the end of the day, I think you pick who the lesser of two evils.
Yes.
You know? Like, that's the really is. And I think everybody comes to the table and they say, I'm going to give you all this stuff, and that's half of lies. You know?
Three quarters lies, but yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I think they don't give you half of what they say they're going to give you. Mm-hmm. They make you all these false promises and all this stuff. But that's just me, my non-political self, mm-hmm. giving you my view on politics.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's just how I look at it like, that don't even make no sense, you know?
It don't even sound right.
It don't even sound right. But hey, you mm-hmm. know, if it works for you, it works for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Chance, what you got, Chance?
Yeah. KJ, I'm not looking at you crazy behind that, because I'm all about putting the best person in the job. Mm-hmm. I honestly was not for Barack Obama when he announced his candidacy.
I wasn't either. I was actually pulling for Hillary.
And I was actually pulling for McCain.
Oh, wow. Okay.
My biggest problem with the last few presidents is I believe that a president, if you're going to be commander-in-chief, your butt should have been in the U.S. military. Because how can you prosecute a war, defend your country, know how the military, I mean, the biggest chunk of our economy, know how that operates if you've never been? And then what kind of generals are you going to select? I mean, how do you know what a good general is if you've never been in the military?
Yeah. If you've never seen good leadership.
Right, and good military leadership. Because
military leadership,
It's very different from the business world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Colin Powell and David Petraeus, Schwarzkopf, those guys, some people would say they were kind of arrogant. But they were great generals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people didn't like them, well. Generals aren't there to be liked. They're there to prosecute war effectively, efficiently, and to win.
That's it.
And so that's been my problem with a lot of the people going forward with with their nominations for president. And that's why I was actually leaning toward McCain all the way up until he announced who he was selecting for vice president.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. He definitely shot himself in the foot with that one. He did. Like, when he announced her, I think a lot of people were like, okay, don't know too much about her. But when she got to saying that she can see Russia from her backyard, it was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what? But no, I mean, as far as these debates go, man, I really am excited for this next season, because as soon as we hit I think when we hit early 2016, we're going to see just rampant as far as political ads, seeing who's about what, social media is going to go crazy, friendships are going to be lost over some politics. And I kind of get excited about that, because to me, it's kind of funny when you see all that stuff. So I'm excited about it just for that simple fact. Like, it amazes me how just someone's political stance on certain things can make you lose a friend. Ain't that crazy, bro?
It is. I really enjoy watching the political field narrow as a little dirt on some candidate A comes out, or candidate B says something really stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole the weeding process is could you imagine having to speak 10, 12 hours a day every day to crowds of people and having everything you say analyzed for one gaffe or another?
Mm-hmm.
No, I could not imagine that. I think it's I think it's got to be grueling to be like under the spotlight all the time. I think about it even in reference to celebrities. Like, it must suck to be a celebrity.
Look at President Obama.
Man, look, between him and Michelle.
When he came into office, that brother looked young and vibrant.
Look, they say,
my president looks beat.
They say 4 years in the office makes you age you like 10 years.
Yeah.
They always do side by side shows of them, like Clinton.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Clinton.
Clinton got under the bus. Like, I feel bad for Hillary because I'm like, you already kind of look bad. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of look a little old. Like, girl, well, you about to get up in this you about to get up in this White House? Oh, baby.
Well, she's in her 60s already, so she's, you know, she's aged and she's lived.
You better go on ahead and start looking for your plastic surgery and stop playing.
Oh, wow.
For real. No,
I don't think she's going to make it.
You don't? Why is that?
I think that she's too polarizing. Too many people really dislike her.
Wow. So who do you think gets the nod for the Democrats then?
I don't think there's anyone there yet.
Wow.
And if you really think about it, Barack wasn't. He kind of came out of nowhere.
You ain't kidding.
Like, he, because like, really, when you really think of, when you go back and look at it, like, nobody knew who he was until they was like, oh, whatever. Actually, nobody knew who he was until Oprah got up on the stage and was like, this is my boy, Barack. And all of white America was like, Barack Obama, Oprah says yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how it goes. Like, bro, Oprah says yes, everything is okay in the world.
That's right. You're right, because if she gets you back, if she got your back, then
because think straight. About it. Did you ever see Barack and Oprah again? Did you ever see them together again?
No.
No, I'm really trying to think about it. I was about to hop you on didn't. Google and see.
You didn't. No. Like, maybe you may see them, like, behind the scenes personally, maybe, but not in a public type, you know, setting again. After she announced him, like, this is my boy Barack, you know what I mean? All the soccer moms in middle America was like, but Oprah says he's great. Oh my gosh.
Honey, this is who you're voting for.
You know what I mean? And then you never saw them together again.
Mm. But no, and in all honesty, like I said, like Lady J just said, the presidency ages you. It does. Man. It makes you look bad. But to Chance, I'm trying to figure out, you know, is someone going to pop up last minute? Because you got to think about it. You know, we got about a year before we really need to know who's going to be going for this position. Am I correct?
Yes.
We got about a little under a year. And
we
need
about 6 months before we need to know who's going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's another question for you, Chance. Out of all the Republican candidates, who do you see falling out early?
Ben Carson.
Yeah, I was already there with you. I just let it go yeah. Now.
Ben, you know, he needs to stay in his field. Outstanding mm-hmm. neurosurgeon.
Yes.
But, you know, how many do people really forgot that he is just a very fortunate black person that
he had the system.
He was lucky because when he got angry and stabbed that kid and didn't kill him, that was a point where he could have either been just another black man in jail, or someone came and rescued him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't really want a president that got so angry that he tried to kill somebody and, you know, stab him. That's, you were a little off balance for me.
Yeah. I didn't even know about that, honestly. I didn't know anything about that.
Oh, yeah, it's in his bio.
Okay, I'm about to read that.
Oh, it's a good bio. I read it in high school.
On Ben Carson? Mm-hmm. Okay. I have to look it up. You know you know who I'm thinking of, Chance?
Who's that?
Rick Santorum.
No.
I don't think that guy's going to be around long.
Now, didn't Rick just tell the Pope to stay in his lane?
Yes, he did. And and I was going to bring up a few things that he did. If I'm thinking of this correctly, isn't he possibly facing jail time of some sort? He could be facing jail time?
Yes, he is up on charges for something.
I want to say it's not rape, but I don't remember what it is. But how can you start your political career, like your presidential run, and you could be facing jail time? How crazy is that? I think they're going to boot him out of here early. I think he's done after a few more months. He's going to go ahead and back out. Ben Carson and Santorum, those two are out. And then the female, what's her name? Fiorino or George?
Carly?
Yeah, Carly Fiorino. Is that her name? Yeah, I think she's going to fall by the wayside fairly quick as well. She seemed like she's very intelligent, very, very inspired young lady. But I don't see her getting a nod or anything like that. I just can't see it. So.
Yeah, I mean, out of this field, I mean, I look at the Republican field and it's like the band of idiots. It's,
you said the band of idiots.
When a Catholic going to sit there and tell the Pope, you know, you're not a scientist, you know, and he wasn't born the Pope.
Mm. And you know what's crazy?
I'm sorry, I just caught that. Like he wasn't born the Pope. I'm sorry. Slow moving.
It's okay. So, you know what's crazy? Chance, you brought up something, man. And you know what, Village? Right with us, all I got to say. Chance just said something, you know, in regards to, you know, Santorum making comments about the Pope and him not being a scientist. Global warming. Dude, it's real. I don't give a damn.
I'm so tired of people who started. I really wish people would be like, I feel like all the politicians are like, that don't exist. And everybody else in the world is like, what are y'all smoking over there?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Everybody else in the world, it exists. It really exists. And they're like, nip, nip. Can't be talking about anything. We like, come on, people. You know what I mean? Like, what's that movie about the hurricane and the tornado and the day after tomorrow?
Yeah.
Where the guy like hikes across the like on with the snowshoes and stuff, mm-hmm. across
and goes and gets his son.
I feel like that's really gonna happen. Like I feel like our politicians are really gonna be like,
they're literally going to say, they're going to hop on camera and say, we're sorry.
Yes. And you need to batten down the hatches.
Yeah.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. this is really happening.
But we're about to move to Central America and up on the mountain where it's gonna be nice, warm and beautiful. And we're going to buy up all that land, so we don't really care about everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They're like, we're good. Sorry about the rest of y'all.
Hope y'all figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see, was it Santorum? When he announced his candidacy, he's holding a lump of coal.
Oh, God.
I mean, you know, let's just start making, you know, just start making leaded gas again. Throw carburetors on the car. And
18 miles to the gallon, you know,
bringing
back the good old days of 18 miles a gallon, stuff like that. Yeah, it's not gonna work, man. And I'm gonna be honest, I had a conversation with somebody the other day about global warming, and I really said, I left a message for another show, but basically, the way I look at it is the whole day after tomorrow theory. I think it can actually happen, maybe not that severe, but I think the Earth is going to correct itself.
Absolutely.
I think we're seeing that now. I think the Earth is literally in the process of, look, you're not going to kill me. I'll kill you before you kill me.
Yeah.
This is not going to work. People will say, oh, the Earth is just the Earth. No, I mean, I'm not going to go religious here, but the Earth is a living thing.
Mm-hmm.
It has a heart. We call it the core. It feels. It grows things. It has trees, grass.
Mm-hmm.
This is all the things that our planet has done to help us. Now, as human beings, our job is to cultivate that and keep it going, right? But when we destroy stuff, when we destroy Mama's house, what does Mama do? Mama beats our backside. Right?
That tough love.
Exactly. And I think the planet is like, look, I'm done. I'm not going to take this anymore. And I think we're going to slowly see more and more earthquakes. You know, it's going to be things. And you're going to slowly start seeing scientists say, oh, the ocean levels are okay. And the salinization or whatever it is okay. Why? The planet is fixing itself.
I concur. Because I remember, it's funny, I remember back in the day when everyone from New York would move, when they retired, move down to Florida because Florida had warmer weather. But now, Florida is just as cold as it is in New York, minus the snow. You know? Like that's really mm-hmm. like really where it's at. Like this, New York is cold and it has snow, but Florida is cold without snow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's almost like no difference between the two now. You know, New York weather, New York temperatures is just as hot as Florida temperatures. You know, even look here in San Diego now. Like the weather, there's almost no rain. You know, the weather's changing.
We're in a drought.
You know, it's no rain. I remember, what was it? May gloom. What is it? May gloom, June gloom. What is it called?
May gray.
June. May gray, June gloom.
Yeah.
Yes. I remember for 3 years, we didn't even have that. This year, I think, was the first year that we had May gray.
No, we had it last year.
No, we didn't.
You don't think so?
No. And the reason why I remember we didn't have it, because by the time July came, by the time June came, it was already like 100 and some odd degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was real hot. Yeah. And humid.
And Chance, ain't that crazy, bro? Like,
you know,
it's like 100 and something degrees sometimes.
In beautiful San Diego, right? Mm-hmm. So global warming is all about those big changes, those big swings in weather.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been enjoying this moderate climate and everything.
Yep.
But you're absolutely right. Nature will correct. It corrects overpopulations of animals,
mm-hmm.
humans. It there's a
natural selection. I believe in that. Natural selection is a real deal. Not all of us ain't meant to be here. Let's just be honest.
Yeah. Look, 1816 was known as the year without a summer or the year of famine. Because snow in the south of France, in this Mediterranean climate where people go to vacation, that's where Mary Shelley and two or three other writers got together to vacation there, and they were snowed in.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a competition to see who could write the scariest book, and she wrote Frankenstein and won the competition.
Oh.
And we're looking at, you know, got over that whole period is known as like the Little Ice Age, and we're looking at the melting of the Greenland ice sheet and messing up the flow of the Gulf Stream, and we're going to end up, while people are debating the semantics of global warming,
mm-hmm.
end up with a frozen Northern Europe and more ice sheets, and you know, we're making a big mess of our planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're supposed to be good stewards of what we've been given.
Yeah,
we're currently not doing that.
No, not at all. And here's the thing: where's we gonna go? We don't have another planet.
No,
I don't know what people think. Like, folks think maybe we can go somewhere else. And I heard, what was it? It was Santorum. He said, yeah, we can just move to Mars. And I'm like, it's like negative 200 degrees on Mars. Like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? We can't make that. And I'm like, where are these people, the thought process, the logic? What is going on with the thought process?
I don't know. And that's where he needs to leave that kind of interplanetary colonization to the scientists. Because, you know, basic things like the temperature, lack of water resources,
mm-hmm.
The reduced gravity will have serious biological effects on us Earth-loving humans.
Yes.
We're not going to make it there.
No.
So,
no. The first three or four, maybe even five generations are going to die pretty quick. And maybe we'll adjust. But, it's not worth it, you know. And that was me being sarcastic, people. Don't take me serious, okay? No emails on that one. Got my little disclaimer. But yeah, man, that's definitely where I'm seeing things. I am definitely not. I'm not, like I said, you know, bringing it back home. I'm not feeling any of the Republican candidates right now, because to me, they seem like they're an extension of Mitt Romney, like that whole ideology, basically. So
that whole trickle down effect thing is just nonsense to me.
Oh God, that's the absolute, the craziest thing. Let's make the richer people rich and hope that they give the poor people money, or give them better jobs and more and a higher wage. Yeah, no, it doesn't work that way. It's not going to.
It never has.
No.
Rich people they're not the ones going out and starting businesses. They create massive monopolies. Then they cut wages so they can create more wealth for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give that wealth to their children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take a million, you take $10 million, you give it to one CEO, and he's going to buy a gallon of milk when he has to go home, feed his kid. Or you can create, 50, $100,000 jobs with full benefits and everything. And those are going to, you have 50 people going to go out and buy 50 gallons of milk. They're going to go buy cars, houses. That's how you stimulate an economy and create a vibrant middle class.
I was just about to say that. You know, you, with that $10 million, you're just going to buy your regular groceries while this man on the corner can't even afford to walk into the store because he has no money. But if you break that up, right, and everyone has a decent paying job, guess what? You go to the grocery store and you're making purchases, the grocery store can hire more people. Why? Because you're stimulating the economy. You can go and buy a car. They got to hire more salespeople. The salespeople then in turn are able to go grocery shopping and so on and so forth. You know what I mean? People got to think.
Yeah, and the CEO's going to make more money because he's selling more product now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
maybe I'm just not a...
This is quarter-by-quarter mentality. No one's thinking long-term anymore.
No, they don't. They don't. It's a lot of people, they get to the top and they think about themselves. I'm not going to sit here and say that it's wrong or it's right or anything like that. But what I am saying is people need to really think about the future. And there's a quote that I've said on this show before, and I'll say it again. When the poor people have had enough, what are the rich going to do? Because we outnumber them. The regular people, we outnumber the rich. The top 1%,
Yeah, but, we've already proven, history has already proven itself. Like the poor people, we may revolt, we may revolt at some point in time, but the rich people always prevail.
Okay. Yeah,
that's why there was feudalism in Europe, because there were lots of rich people. Lots of poor people, but the rich had castles. They could hire the poor people to defend them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're right. But when we get that, when that revolt comes and it stays.
That's the issue. We always want the revolt to stay, but I don't know if it ever does.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because we don't have the systems in place to, what happens after the revolt?
True.
And that's where the problem, you can have a surge of people fighting, but what happens when you get tired?
Mm-hmm.
And when fighting isn't enough, then how do you fix it? And then that's where the rich people win, because they're like, look, all we have to do is just wait for the fighting to end.
Mm-hmm.
Wait for the riots to stop. Wait for the fighting to end. They can't go at this rate forever.
Yeah. Occupy Wall Street. They just waited for the fervor to die down and people to have to go back to work and do their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
See, the difference, this is how it works. They have the sustainability where they can wait us out. We can't wait them out, because we got to go back to work on Monday morning.
We do.
You know what I mean?
We do.
We can get up and we can fight on Friday night when we get off of work. But come Monday morning, we like, look, I got to go to work. I got my kids to feed.
Exactly. And that's something that will always be held over our heads. And that's just ugly, but it's true. They have the tactical advantage there.
Mm-hmm.
They have the resources.
And they know it.
To say, okay, cool. We may lose one or two of us, but as a whole, we still going to survive and we'll be okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then here's the other part. The rich people, in the poor community, who are the people that actually can stay out there and protest? You have the jobless guy, you got the crazy cat lady. are those the people you really want to represent?
Represent you. Oh. Okay.
Because, at that point, then the rich people, they take pictures and they you know, they get to twist it all around. The media is controlled by just a few rich people, and they will manipulate those images to kind of, you know, just to get what they want. And we've fallen victim and prey to that.
Time and time again. That explains why, if you really think about it, that explains why out of the news people, if there's a news something that happens on your block, right? If it happens on your block or in your city or something like that, the person that they are going to, it's just a known fact. They are looking for the person with the head rag on, the head scarf, the rollers, the person that has like only one tooth, you know. For real. They're looking for the person who hasn't bathed in a couple of days. That's the person they want to be the representative to say what happened. Not, you know what I mean, the educated lawyer who lives on that block or the educated doctor that lives on that block. No, they can't be speaking for us. You know what I mean? And that's indicative of, that just doesn't happen in just, you know, African-American communities. That happens in white communities too. You know, they seems like they only get the poor white trash on TV, you know. There it is. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Like, who was the dude? Who was the dude that made all that money? Antoine
Dotson.
Antoine Dotson looked a hot mess.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he did.
And that was the one they was like, oh yes, we need him. We want the effeminate gay male with the long bushy hair. You know what I mean? Who got a lot to say about nothing.
Yeah.
That's the one we want to put on TV.
Put on.
You know?
Yeah. All right. So, hey, Chance.
Yes.
By any chance, do you got about 15, maybe 20 more minutes for us? Do you have
that? I sure do.
Okay. Lady J, let's take another quick break. I think Village Idiot is in play.
I don't know. I got kids screaming in the background, so y'all might have to do this by yourself while I go on ahead and just handle some kids.
Oh, no. We'll get them handled real quick. We're taking a break. This is podcast land.
We can pause
for a quick second, come back, and we can knock this out.
We be gone for an hour and come back. It's been 2 minutes since we've been gone.
All right, Village, we'll take a quick break. Village.
Thursday. They say to be patient lovers. Bet you're Aries and Scorpio, Cancer, Capricorn, on the cusp.
If you should feel thirsty, I'll be sure to bring you water. Yes, girl, I got candles that will slow burn longer. And I know your favorite love song and how you like it on repeat. Me, I was born a patient lover, so I'll start with your feet.
Whoa, whoa, what? Welcome back. It's your girl, Lady J. Sorry, baby. I just wanted to take over the mic for a second. Woo! Go for it. Sorry.
Yeah, Village Idiot.
There it is.
First story.
Oh, forget you. Dang.
You are now on the docket.
I'm on the docket?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I got you. Your mama, how about that?
Okay, she heard you.
Y'all remember when they were fighting words?
Mm-hmm.
You remember when you would say your mama and folks be like, oh, wait, I got punched in the nose for that.
Did you?
In fifth grade, I'll never forget it. I was talking to this boy. I don't know what we were fighting about, but whatever. But this guy said something. I said, your mama, and he hit me square in my nose.
He ain't having that.
He was like, you ain't going to talk about my mama.
And there it is.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead. Go for it.
It's okay, baby. It's what we do. It's Village Idiot time. This is when ignorance is bliss.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yes. First story here. Sex going wrong, Lady J.
Oh, dang, it could go wrong in so many ways.
Sex gone wrong. Yeah. A New York couple was admitted to the ER. Guess why?
Oh, I know why.
Why?
Oh, here's my question. Who puts super glue in their nightstand?
What?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. This couple went to the ER because they super glued themselves to each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just want to know. I just want to know who puts super glue in their nightstand.
Let me read some of this story here.
And how do you mistake super glue for lube?
New York. A Syracuse couple lived probably one of the most embarrassing moments ever reported in hospital this year. After checking in the ER, stuck to one another in an explicit sexual position, Martha Weitzman, 36, and Matthew Calladay, 41, had to call emergency services after accidentally mistaking industrial superglue for sexual lubricant. Mm-hmm.
Chance, wow. Where do you keep your superglue at?
Superglue?
In the garage. That's what I wanted. That's what I was thinking, right? Like, in the garage.
Superglue.
Well, maybe they was getting down in a garage. It makes perfect sense.
No. No. Like, I'm sorry.
You said super, nope.
Super glue dries quickly.
How do you mistake that? I don't understand.
Like, he must have, like, literally squeezed it on and just jumped into it or something. I can't even fathom...
I want to know the explicit sexual position that they went in.
I'm thinking, the one I'm thinking of, when he had to lube it up. He was trying to, you know.
Yeah. Oh, he was in the back. He was in the back door. Don't get twisted. Yeah. Adults, listen. It's okay. We can say it. It's all good.
Here's the thing. He lube. Have you guys ever accidentally super glued your fingertips together?
Yes. I've done that.
How did you get that apart?
My mama just laughed at me and told me figure it out. Okay, so.
Like, it took him a while.
My father took a razor blade and cut it.
Oh.
Yeah, I think.
I didn't do that anymore.
Yeah. And in the process, lost part of your fingerprint, but it's all good.
I lost my skin and he told me it'd grow back.
That's what my dad told me. He always told me when I get hurt, if I mess myself up, he said it'll grow back, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, I don't know how they got them unstuck.
Look, here's the thing. Was he in?
He had to be.
I just
got to the back door.
Yes. What was he in?
For her case, for her sake, no.
No.
For her sake, he was just at the rim. That's all I can say.
Like, I'm thinking about the movie American. You remember American Pie? He was like, what was it, the second one? They was in the woods. You remember that movie, Chance? American Pie 2?
I didn't see the second one.
Oh, God. He literally super glued his hand. He was trying to, masturbate. And he had the super glue on the counter next to the lube. Grabs the super glue. And he was like... he ran out onto the porch or whatever it was. Cops come and he was like, I'm glued. And he couldn't raise his hand. I'm like, did they just walk into the hospital like, we're glued?
No, they had to be gurneyed in. There's no way that they could have walked in.
Oh, and here's the other thing. If they had to be gurneyed in, were they like spooning the whole time?
And we're assuming that was the position that they were in. Can you imagine if they was in a different kind of position?
Like
reverse cowgirl.
Oh my God. Like if they were in like the dirty Sanchez position.
Oh.
You know what I mean? You're in a position for the dirty Sanchez.
I don't know.
The Buckham cowboy. Gruesome twosome. I'm just naming stuff I've seen on.
Okay, we don't want to know about your ex. Yeah, we don't know. We don't want all that.
Things I've seen on Google Earth, actually. Anyways.
On Google Earth.
Don't judge me.
Oh, I'm judging. I'm just judging.
Don't judge me.
I'm married to you. I'm allowed to judge you.
You can.
Just let you know.
But you gotta love me still.
That's it. That's it. I'm allowed to judge you, but I still gotta be like that. You's my mans. I'm still really don't know. I'm still stuck on why you put your lube next to your super glue. That's all I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, me too. Straight up here. So let's talk about this next story here. Televangelists are the greatest. Lady J. Chance. Televangelist warns viewers, masturbating men will find their hands pregnant in the afterlife.
Oh.
I don't know how to even respond to that properly.
I saw all.
Yeah.
All you could do is just breathe through that. Like,
I don't even know what to really say to that. Like, what? What?
Wow. You know, he should leave the afterlife to the experts.
And are there abortions in the afterlife?
Hand abortions.
Yeah. You know, can you give up your hand baby for adoption?
Yeah.
You know?
You just super glue your tips together.
Super glue.
Problem solved.
Oh my god. I don't know, man. This okay, so
look, it's televangelism.
Turkish televangelist advised viewers recently that men who masturbate would have to deal with pregnant hands after they died, according to the Hurriyet Daily News. Muslim preacher I can't say this guy's name.
Don't even try.
Because I don't want nobody.
You about to slaughter that?
Yeah. He said that on Sunday that he kept masturbating, although he was married. Okay, that was just some other guy. I guess he.
I was gonna say, wait, the priest?
No.
Who are we talking about? Who's masturbating?
Okay, so Han warned the man that Islam viewed masturbation as haram or a forbidden act. Moreover, states that those who have sexual intercourse, because you could have sexual intercourse with your hands. You can. Let's just be honest here. It's a fact of life. Will find their hands pregnant in the afterlife, complaining against them to God over its rights.
Wait a second. So now your hand is not only is it pregnant, but it's calling to God like, God, look, I'm pregnant now. He owe me child support. If you'll get out of here with that.
So this guy just sent Islam back 1,000 years.
1,000 years. So, is this abuse?
Was it a consenting party?
Oh my god.
You guys are too much.
And do you talk to it the next day?
No.
Give it a phone call. You know, wait 3 days and then call.
Do you call your hand the next day? Hey, I mean, it happened. You know, don't make it weird between us.
Don't make it awkward.
You know, don't tell anybody, you know. It's like going to get McDonald's in the drive thru. Like, you don't want nobody to see you did it, but you did it. And you shouldn't tell nobody. You know.
Baby.
Yeah. I say, yeah, I'm ignorant.
So you don't want nobody to see you do it.
So let's try this next story here. I find all kinds of craziness and stuff like that, and this is why I like the Village Idiot so much. Let's roll to this next one here. Fighting over food, Lady J.
It's real.
Fighting over food.
My kids do it all the time.
It can
get kind of, you know.
But does it get bloody?
If once my 3-year-old gets a little bit older and have a little bit more weight, I think it's going to be.
Wow.
I watched him fight over Cheetos today. I had to just stand there and watch him, like, for real? Is he really going to punch him? He punched him.
Did you sit and watched it, huh?
Just temporarily.
Okay. Yeah, it's good parenting.
Yeah, sometimes you got to watch the situation to see how it unfolds.
Right.
Before you jump in it.
Right.
Because sometimes it could just be like, I didn't really punch him. So you have to kind of wait until be like, I seen you punch him.
You know,
or see what happens. Like, maybe this will be a moment where they'll share.
Yeah,
it wasn't.
No, probably doesn't happen that way.
No. Obviously not, because we got Village Ilias fighting.
That's right. Woman stabbed in the eye with fork fighting over the last rib at barbecue.
Oh my gosh.
Wait. We ain't talking about no little kids fight. We talking about grown folks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you gonna stab somebody with a fork?
Mm-hmm.
In the eye?
Mm-hmm.
That must have been the best rib known to man.
It
the barbecue sauce. The barbecue sauce must have been some award winning, like George Foreman grilled barbecue sauce.
George Foreman.
That's not kosher.
Did you just say? He said that's not. I'm sick of both of y'all. Both of y'all are ignorant.
I'm just saying.
Oh my God. Okay, so in Muncie, Indiana. An Indiana woman was hospitalized and another arrested following a fight over the last rib at a backyard barbecue. The fight broke out at the home of North Turner Street in Muncie, Indiana on Sunday. Officers got a call referencing a stabbing around 7 p.m., according to a police report obtained by the Muncie Star-Press. A woman told the police she had been stabbed in the eye with a fork by Sabrina Davis, a family friend. She was upset that Davis was taking the last rib from the kitchen, an officer said in the report. She then confronted Davis about taking all the food. Confrontation ensued, and the woman was stabbed in the eye.
Wow.
Let that sink in. Let that marinate.
No pun intended.
All pun intended, actually. I'm not going to. That was on purpose.
Eye for a rib. That's...
No. Like, you lost your vision
for a rib.
Where somebody was willing to take somebody else's vision over a rib.
A rib.
There was more to that.
Yeah.
She was sleeping with her man.
There's
no way. There's no way somebody fighting over a rib.
I would hope not.
I'm not. And if I am fighting with you about a rib, I ain't stabbing you in the eye.
No, I'm not even going to stab you, actually. Like, you said stab. I'm not going to stab you.
I'm not going to stab you, right?
Okay. But think about what you said before you said it, you know, because people will take you at your word.
I'm not going to stab you over no rib, you know what I mean? But some folks
But you're not going to stab you over. What would you stab me over?
Maybe if you sleep with my man, I would.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
I'm just saying. Like you my husband, right?
Yeah, okay.
Let Tina come up in here acting stupid. Don't get it twisted, Tina. I'ma cut you. Better yet, I'ma stab you. I'm gonna be like, I dare you to take the rib. AKA, I dare you to take the rib. So I'm drawing a line in the sand. I dare you to take the rib if you think you're bad enough.
Piece of pork.
Well, you know, hey.
Okay. Baby. I'm losing weight too.
Get it. Sexy.
Get it now. You know what I'm saying? A surfboard. I'm ignorant. I know. So that's our Village Idiot here. Three quick, down and dirty. Chance, who you got, man's Village Idiot?
Yeah, you know, I was on Santorum up until the Super Glue Couple. Super Glue.
And you and I think a lot, bro, because I'm picking the same one. Like, the hell was going on to where you got the damn Super Glue? Right, I mean, if you're in the kitchen, maybe, but if you was in the bed, like, come on,
why you got the super glue? Why you got the super glue on your nightstand?
On your nightstand,
super glue's got a smell too.
It's got a texture because it sticks too.
Yes,
jeez. But you know, let me tell you what happened. He knew it was all bad from the moment that it got in his hand.
Yeah, he was like, I'm glued.
He smelled it and was like, oh, dang.
He'd already rubbed himself.
He had already rubbed himself and rubbed her up, and it was done. You know, if he was already ready and it getting happening, it was quick, fast. I'm like, oh my God,
I can't move.
Oh.
He was like, I can't move, dog.
And she's probably like, what? What are you talking about? What do you mean?
Baby, if you move again, I'm a donkey punch you in the back of your head. Stand still.
Yeah, that's funny.
And now we have to step together.
Yes, okay? And now you got to coordinate movement. So we can get to the phone.
3, 2, 1. 1, 2, 3. You know? I don't know. So that's my pick, too. Chance picks super glue. Squared.
I want to say super glue, but I like to think it's hand job, man. Man, he set back a whole religious institution.
set back a whole faith.
Right. You just set a whole religious institution back 100 years.
Wow.
You are the weakest link. Yeah. The weakest link.
I still gotta go with the super glue.
Hey, because you gotta know.
You gotta know that, you know, hey, you know, you could have been her hero and you just screwed it up. You know?
I mean, first of all, I'm not putting anything down there that I don't know exactly what it is.
Dude, if it hasn't been previously verified.
Exactly.
There is no way in hell. I can't even imagine. Like, just reaching over and grabbing something? Like, girl, let's just get it. What? Mm-mm. Wait. Let's just say, maybe he was trying to do something else.
Maybe they was just super excited. You know, they had a little bit too much to drink.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to, you know, such a situation where you wouldn't recognize that it was super glue.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just think about all the different transitions, man. Like, what if it had been like, you know, adults, excuse me here, just dig in, this is an adult show. What if it had been like oral and she'd have like, you know? How do you go to the hospital like that? Her damn teeth is just... Come on.
Serious lockjaw, man.
She'd be like, "Look, this is never gonna happen again. Just need you to know that right now." Like she, you know, he
just ruined it for everybody.
He did. Like he thought he had the cherry flavored lube and
didn't,
and just had the super glue,
dude. Yeah. And every man behind him is gonna be like, "Man, you're
stupid.
You ruined it for everybody.
Like you're just stupid. Like you need to never in life ever do that again." Yeah, what, definitely.
What happened to if it was reversed?
Oh, he's just like got extra facial hair on him. It's insane. Just the possibilities are limitless.
Oh yeah.
Gosh, I was trying to be nice earlier. You know, maybe they were just spooning, and that's just like, you know, it's like, oh yeah, baby, go ahead. He just reaches back like, yeah, finally. After 6 months, and just squeezes and almost loses his stuff.
She's got him in a permanent headlock.
Earmuffs. I know some folks gonna hear this and be like, "What in the hillbilly hell is going on over there?" Yeah, but anyways, though, Village. You heard our thoughts on this whole politics and everything like that. And Village Idiot, I choose the lube squared. That's going to be that. Lady J is going with, what was it again you're going with, babe?
Hand job.
The hand, the pregnant hand. Do they have support for that?
It's an afterlife.
Remember when you were pregnant? And you had that thing that you had to use to support your stomach because it helped you out?
Mm-hmm.
Well, do they have that for the hand? I'm just saying.
A glove? I don't know. Maybe.
With a sling?
Get out of here.
I'm just saying. Think about it. There's money in that.
In the afterlife. It's money in the afterlife. Infomercial.
Yeah. All right, Village.
Two installments of $14.99.
All right, Village, we are going to hop off of here. Chance, sir?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to let you know we got to have you back on, okay?
Anytime.
Like, you may be a permanent, you know, I'm going to have to use Skype a lot with you. And every now and again, we'll get him in on the mics live and in person. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, Chance, thank you, sir, for coming in. We appreciate you, okay, bro?
Thank you.
All right, lady. What were you saying?
I definitely enjoyed my
help. Oh, definitely, definitely. I'm glad Skype is going crazy now at the end of the show.
End of the show.
Right?
Skype said,
right.
I don't want to work no more.
Lady J, what's your Twitter, babe?
You can hit your girl up at Loving Chanel.
You can hit me up at Enlighten My Mind. Phyllis Twitter handle at W2TheVillage. You can hit up the Google voicemail 619-202-1562. It's like automatic now. I'm good at it. Website welcometothevillage.com. You can email us at welcometothevillage@gmail.com. A Facebook page. We have so many new likes. We thank each and every last one of you. Last week, we thank you guys for riding with us and, you know, still keeping our numbers up, which was crazy.
Yeah.
Put out one show and the numbers still stayed up. So I appreciate you guys. That's because
we got some good people listening. We got some good villagers and some good listeners. And we appreciate the support.
Yeah, definitely. We appreciate you guys. That's pretty much everything. We don't have any events coming up anytime soon other than Embrace, where we volunteer to and we feed the needy and stuff like that. So if y'all want to join us, hit us up. We'll tell you how to get a hold of us. And we'll do it like that. We love you. We thank you. God bless you. Have a great night.
Ahala! Are you in the area of Melbourne, Florida? Are you in need of an excellent dog or cat groomer that loves your four-legged family as much as you do? Well, at Heavenly Touch Dog and Cat Grooming, we love each other just as we love your pets. Family-owned and run, with perfection as our goal. If you would like to book an appointment, please call us at 321-622-6963. Email us at heavenlytouchdogandcatgrooming@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at Heavenly Touch Dog and Cat Grooming and check out our photo gallery of our adorable, satisfied customers. Come visit us in person, 2260 Sarno Road, Melbourne, Florida, 32935. Visit our website for the most current pet-friendly specials, www.heavenlytouch.vpweb.com. With a variety of services to choose from, we are sure you'll be happy working with us. We know your pet will want to come back for another Heavenly Touch.